Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live, not from the SBTV studios today, but from location here. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. That song is very fitting. Christmas season is upon us. I don't want to fight with people tonight, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to. You know, it's very odd, folks, but wrestling has changed, and I think the wrestling fans have changed. And I think that's a huge part of this problem. And, of course, when I first started the show, I told you I want to be the voice of the fans. The fans really don't have a voice. You can scream and holler and yell, and nobody listens. So at least maybe if you tuned into the show and you heard someone saying, yeah, that, you know, I feel the way you feel, it would be a little bit better. But I don't feel the way most of you feel. And it's starting to become more and more evident that a lot of the what I would call ardent wrestling fans have left the building. Yesterday, I had a conversation on a group, a wrestling group, that sometimes I'll go in and talk about. And we talked about the Bray Wyatt incident on TLC. And it was met with, this is reshaping his character, which we knew. We already knew that. No one's arguing that point. This is just to bring a different Bray Wyatt around. We get it. And then when I make a very salient point and I say, yeah, but it's still stupid. It's still ridiculous. I'm met with, well, it's only a show. Don't look at it too serious. Don't take it too seriously. You shouldn't take it seriously. We know he's not really burned. I said, of course you don't. Of course you know he's not really burned. We know James Bond is not going to die at the end of a movie. But why do we go see the movie if we don't care? And when you use words like getting emotionally invested in trying to suspend your disbelief in a product, it's mocked as though, well, who does that except idiots? Well, that's the whole point of professional wrestling. That's the whole point of anything. If you go to see a horror movie and you can't get scared, it's because you're not emotionally invested in it. You're cheating yourself. Fans are cheating themselves trying to stay out of the emotional investment of professional wrestling because they think that's some sort of weakness or taboo or it's silly or it's thinking too hard. No, that's lazy. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. If I go to see a James Bond movie, yeah, I know he's not really hurt. I know he's not really going to die. But if they cut his head off, feed him to a shark, and then the shark craps him out whole, and he's perfectly fine, I'm going to walk out of that movie saying, this is dumb. That's not what a James Bond movie should be. Well, that's what I'm saying about TLC and the angle with Bray Wyatt. You can't set someone on fire and then walk into Monday Night Raw and brag about it. Oh, it's not real anyway, so he's not arrested because it's not real. Yeah, I get it. Do you have to rub it in people's faces that it's not real? Do you not want to? As a fan, do you no longer want to sit and watch a match and pretend, be able to suspend your disbelief and say, for the 5, 8, 10 minutes of this match, I'm going to buy into this totally? Are you so jaded that you now say, oh, it's not about that. I'm just looking to see if his super kick is up to par. I'm just looking to see if his frog splash is perfect. If that's the case, stop watching wrestling. You don't deserve to be a fan. Stop listening to this show, because you're not going to get anything out of it. You see, wrestlers are only passionate when fans are passionate. Federations are only passionate about their fans when their fans are passionate about their product. And if it all becomes, who cares, it's fake anyway, who cares, it's not really happening, who cares, it's just one big laugh-a-thon, what's the point of being a wrestling fan? What's the point? You're cheating yourself. You're the guy who sits in the movie theater during a horror film saying, this is stupid, this isn't real. Okay, but you went and seen it. You paid your money to go see it. And I guess you went to see a horror film because you enjoy being scared. You enjoy the thrill of the horror genre. So why are you cheating yourself out of those emotions? A lot of wrestling fans have become lazy, and they've become jaded, and they don't want to put anything into it. And that's precisely why the federations don't put anything into it anymore. Hey, well, why bother? Why bother? With this sort of mentality, the next time you go to see a rock concert, if they just stand there or they all sit on a stool and play, I don't ever want to hear you say, well, that was boring. Well, what's the difference? If you're not getting into it, what's the difference? There is no way to get into something that is predetermined and not real unless you suspend your disbelief. There's no way to do that. When you go to a movie, that's what you do, or that's what you should do. If you're sitting in a movie going, you know, I think he could have delivered that line better. You know, I don't think the lighting is quite right for this. You know, I think the cinematography is lacking a little bit. Then I don't know what to tell you about yourself. You're not a real movie fan. And if you are doing that to professional wrestling, I'm sorry to tell you, you are not a real wrestling fan. Truth hurts, but hey, I told you I was going to tell you the truth on this show as I see it, and I'm going to do it. And it's time for wrestling fans, the real wrestling fans, to come out and express themselves. You know, you get people saying, you know, if you take the demographic of the 18 to 30, technically speaking, AEW is more popular than even Raw. Yeah. And when AEW does 800,000, they're dancing in the aisles, and when Raw does 1.5 million, they are on the ledge ready to jump. So take that phony baloney crapola and stuff it. AEW does not want you to be emotionally invested in a lot of these characters, I guess. They're more for the modern wrestling fan who says, I just want the technical expertise of it. I don't know why you just don't watch UFC where it's real then. No, that's not as much fun because the characters aren't as good. Okay, well, wait a minute. I thought you said the characters are all fake. And it doesn't matter what they do, because it's all fake anyway. If you become that jaded as a wrestling fan that you can't sit and enjoy it as real for those few minutes, you've lost what made you a wrestling fan to begin with. You've lost the feel of that magic, and that's a shame. It's a damn shame, because I should never leave you no matter how old you are. I don't care whether you're 14 or you're 104. If you're watching wrestling, you should be suspending your disbelief in the product, and they should be allowing you to do that by not jumping the shark. A lot of people jumped on me and said, well, you're the one who said there should be no rules. There shouldn't be any rules. I'm not objecting to the violent content of it at all. I'm not objecting to that. What I am objecting to is going so far that it becomes a satire. I always said the litmus test is to sit there with a fan who doesn't really watch wrestling. So they're not really a fan. Sit there with a friend who doesn't really watch wrestling and says, no, man, I watched it. It's kind of stupid. If you have them watch The Fiend versus Randy Orton, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, what kind of dumbass, juvenile, 12-year-old crapola is this? It's so fake. It's so stupid. It's so rigged. It's so ridiculous. And you like this? Then have them watch Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, and they're going to say, damn, man, I mean, I know it's not real, but whoa. Those guys really look like they're angry at each other. They really look like they're going at it, man. That wasn't too bad. I know this because I did it. So this is my call to wrestling fans. Don't be afraid of being called dumb or stupid or juvenile if you're sitting on your couch really rooting for the person you want to win and making believe for that length of time that they really are who they say they are and they really did what we saw them do. Because that's where the magic begins. You don't go to a magic show and say, he's not cutting the woman in half. She's wadded up in one side of the box and those are fake feet. This is all, but it's cute, but it's all fake. No, you don't do that. You know it's not real. But you sit back and say, wow, it's amazing. It looks so real. I almost think it's real. It's the illusion. When wrestling stops creating that illusion, wrestling dies. And when wrestling fans stop wanting that illusion, wrestling fans die. Last night, the WWE gave us a holiday show. That's pretty much exactly, I guess, what the wrestling fans that I'm speaking of want. It's devoid of any real storyline. It's just a bunch of thrown-together matches. Nobody to care about. Nobody to root for or against. And a segment or two that just defies logic and your whole entire rationale of why there is an actual federation of people vying for championship belts when people can appear out of nowhere on swing sets in a ring. As if in a dream. I guess this is what you want. Mike, let's start out with the theory that Monday Night Raw, in my opinion, took their 1.5 million rating last week and said, hold my beer, I think we can do worse.
Right. And to add to that, that's not going to make USA any happier. You know,
no,
that's a given. And look, watch what happens on Friday, or watch when the ratings for Friday come out on Saturday or Monday, whenever they come out. Watch, they're gonna be better ratings because they're gonna not be constrained by, oh, this is a holiday show and all that stuff. You know, so yeah, they're gonna be better. And yeah, you're right. This is another version of Hold My Beer, you know? The matches were all
it really
right.
It's a shame. It's such a shame. It's such a shame. And you're right. Friday's going to do better than Monday. And Friday's Christmas. And they're still going to draw more. They're still going to draw more than Raw. Now, Raw's going to do a little better, I bet. And I'll tell you why. Because people tune in to see what happened to The Fiend. Well, this is another case. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. So here's what we're told. Bray Wyatt comes into the Federation as an evil cult leader who can play with the minds of people, but he can't really beat anybody. Then he becomes Matt Hardy's tag team partner, and it's just a bunch of goofy, weird individuals, and they can't beat anybody. Then Bray Wyatt comes back as the Fiend, who's an indestructible monster who can't beat anybody. He lost to Seth Rollins. He lost to Goldberg. He's lost to Randy Orton. So now we got to reinvent him as somebody even tougher. Why? You already had who you needed. I don't need him reinvented again. There's no need to reinvent him again. How many times are you going to reinvent? So you're going to reinvent him. He's going to lose to Goldberg again. He's going to lose to Seth Rollins again. He's going to lose to Randy Orton again. And then what are you going to do? Push him off a building and reinvent him again? How come you keep having to reinvent people? I'll tell you why. Because you're mishandling them to begin with. And then you realize you spoiled it. And you say, oh, you're like the person who starts writing and then wipes it all clean and says, no, let me start over. I screwed that up. Well, then that's your fault. You're the one who screwed it up. It's mind-boggling. I don't know how bad Raw is going to get, but this is really not good. Basically, we just get the Charlotte Flair show for the beginning. Charlotte Flair on commentary, Charlotte Flair in the ring, Charlotte Flair doing this, doing that, and doing the other thing. We get it. Charlotte Flair's back. I like Charlotte Flair. I don't want to dedicate a whole show to her. Especially at the expense of Asuka, who used to be funny and charismatic, and now she's just taking a back seat because, well, Charlotte's back. So we get that nonsense at the beginning, and then, of course, we get a number one contenders match, which leads to what? Just a rematch, which should have been to begin with. So that's neither here nor there. The show is so poor, I'm not even going to go through it match by match. I'm just going to tell you my absolute feelings about this. Matt Riddle comes out, or just Riddle now, totally spouting just ridiculous nonsense. I get it. He's supposed to look like he's high as a kite all the time. Yeah, that's a really interesting character. Yo, the care of the world, man. It's all whatever. Whatever. If you like this character, great. But I don't know anybody who does. And you've just formed this tag team, and they immediately get their asses handed to them. Get their asses handed to them. Terrific. Great booking. I mean, you could have set them up against another team first and said, well, they're just starting to learn as a team. So, you know, we've got local talent or we've got a lesser team. No, you know why you don't? Because you don't have a lesser team. You don't have any teams. Riddle is so annoying, Todd, almost impossible to keep the volume up when he's on screen.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I just don't like the way he's acting, like doing this, whatchamacallit, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Jeff Piscoli thingy. Like you said, I remember watching.
It's even worse than that, though, Todd. He doesn't even act like he's high. He just acts like he's really, really, really stupid. That's the problem. If he acted like he was high, but he was still smart, you know, Joe Rogan is high half the time when he does his podcast, but he still acts, you can tell he's a little stoned, but he's still very intelligent. This guy just acts like a doofus. He's, man, oh, wow. It's just, maybe it should be barbecue and put a little treat on the grill. What the hell are you talking about? That's your promo? God, it's terrible. Matt Hardy's looking at him like, I can't believe I have to tag with this idiot. Remember when they said, please, Jeff, resign. We got big plans for you. One big major run for you. Yeah, what's the big major run? Tapping out every week to Bobby Lashley? Unreal. We get Jackson Riker beating up the Lucha House Party. That's fine, I guess. At least you're promoting his character. We have an Angel Garza sighting who beats Drew Gulak in a minute. Ricochet, who loses once again. T-Bar. And the gimmick's going to be how many times you're going to lose before you join the dark side. That's just a fascinating storyline with two guys who couldn't have less charisma. Ricochet is a fantastic athlete. He has about as much charisma as a cardboard box. And Ali is about as menacing as James Ellsworth. So that's not working on any level. The big guys might be menacing, but they look like they're just the underdogs to Ali, who takes the mic all the time and says literally nothing. Acts like they're undefeated when they've had their asses handed to them time and time and time and time and time again. And I know that's what's written for them. But wow. Wouldn't you think they'd speak up at least once and say, do I really have to say this? I mean, my ass has been handed to me a million times. How am I supposed to say we're dominant and we're this and we're that? We're not. But the WWE don't care because you don't care. See, that's what I'm saying. WWE says those fans don't care. They don't care if Randy Orton comes out and brags about setting a man on fire on live television. They don't care if he comes out and says, I love the smell of his burning flesh and watching his skin bubble off his body while he screamed in agony. Yeah, okay. That's adult content. That's what USA wants. No, that's not what USA wants. I know what USA wants. They want storylines that make adults say, I got to tune in next week. Not, oh, God, how stupid is this? Can you please? My 12-year-old's laughing at it. How do you expect me to take it seriously? See, that's the problem. You got a guy sitting home who's been his, a wrestling fan his whole life. He's got a 12-year-old kid sitting there with him. The kid's like, that's so stupid. Randy Orton supposedly set him on fire. You can see it's a dummy. And the dad is supposed to be like, this is very serious adult entertainment, son. Don't laugh. If I had a kid, I'd like to think he'd laugh at that because that's how dumb it is. I'd like to think my kid is smart enough to say, well, that's just stupid. Certainly, anyone who's going to set somebody on fire, ain't going to get on TV and brag about it. I murdered him, and I'm glad I did it, because I'm a serial killer. I like to do stuff like, yeah, that's what you're going to do. I mean, the WWE could have got to this in many ways. They could have had something, they could have had a pit of fire and have the Fiend fall into it accidentally, and that's it. You know, Randy Orton says, well, I didn't do it on purpose, but I'm glad he's gone. But the funny thing is the WWE says, how dare you set someone on fire? That's going too far. He set a man on fire. Well, what was the rules of the match? Was the rules of the match not you have to set your opponent on fire? I don't know. I know I'm getting tired of the nonsense, and I'm getting tired of federations who don't try. And I'm getting tired of fans who accept it and say, well, they shouldn't try. Well, we don't care. We don't care. It's fake. We don't care. We don't take any of it seriously. We don't care. Well, if you don't care, that's like watching a baseball game and saying, oh, my team sucks. I don't care. I don't care if they win. I don't care. Oh, I went to a movie and I paid $12 to get in. It's a terrible movie. I don't care. It's cool. I don't care. Well, if you don't care about anything, then you're not passionate about it. You should care. That's the whole problem. I love it when people tell me you're taking it too seriously. No, you're not taking it seriously enough. If you aren't passionate about the things you enjoy and the things you love, then heaven help you in life. I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to stumble through life just saying, so-so is good enough in everything I do in life. Because nothing matters. It don't matter. It does matter. I, for one, do not accept average or below average crap when it comes to the things I like. It's a shame. Because one feeds off the other, and the WWE says the fans aren't that passionate about this anyway. Throw this holiday match out there, and it's just whatever. Put AJ Styles through the eggnog, and everybody will laugh. And that's all wrestling really is, right? It's something to laugh at. It's not serious. You train 5 days a week, bust your ass, injure yourself, shorten your lifespan, give up your social life, travel your goddamn life away, but it don't matter. Because it's just fake. And nobody takes it serious. You're just a clown in a clown show. Is that what wrestling fans want? And then wrestlers, they become bitter and angry about that and say, well, if we're just clowns in a clown show, I'm not busting my ass for these fans. I'm not going to try to come up with anything decent. We wouldn't even been able to have a Stone Cold Steve Austin or anything in this era because people would have said, ah, Steve. Stupid Stone Cold gets everything. I've talked to wrestling fans who said, oh, the Roman Reigns match at TLC was boring. Boring. Okay, well, I don't know then. I don't think wrestling is for you. I don't think you understand it. Nobody cares about the psychology. Nobody cares about the storytelling. All they care about, I guess, is to sit there as if they're judges at a beauty contest and say, 8.7 on the plancha, 6.4 on the super kick. It was a little sloppy. Their chemistry lacks in the ring. We'll give that a 5.7. What kind of fans are you? I've told you already, I go to an independent show, and it was like a library. We had the heels come out and attack a man who was 90 years old and receiving an award for his achievements in the world of professional wrestling. And the heels came out and literally attacked this man in front of his grandson. And nobody said a word, not a peep. Not a word. Until me and my crew stood up and said, throw him out. Throw that idiot out. We're screaming and yelling at him, saying, hey, you bastard, throw that idiot out. Get the security and get that guy out. And then all of a sudden the audience starts to mumble a little bit. And then all of a sudden there's some heat. And then all of a sudden these guys really, really, you know, start to get into their character. And we start to see a little bit better show because they say, ooh, we hit a nerve. Yeah, you hit a nerve, because while I'm sitting there, I'm not saying, he's not hitting that 90-year-old man. He pulled his punch 2 inches before he even touched him, and this is so stupid, like you'd really attack a 90. I don't do that. So when I see Randy Orton set someone on fire, I say to myself, he really did it. But I can't say that if I know, well, that's absolutely ridiculous because he'd be arrested. So you can't do things like that. And the reason you can't do them is because then I snap out of that little trance and I say, oh, well, this is just dumb now. I can't pretend he really did that because it's so obvious he didn't. It's so obvious he didn't. But I can yell and scream and holler at Roman Reigns for the shit he does. I can yell and scream and holler at Jey Uso for the shit he does. I know they're all friends. I'm not stupid. Some of the best friends I had, I went to war with and bloodied them and beat them mercilessly in the federation I was involved with. At least one or two times, got sent to the hospital to close wounds. And you know what we did afterwards? Went out and had pizza. You know what the fans did? I'll tell you what the fans did. I was at a mall one time, unaware that someone who I was feuding with at the time was on that mall, and I had fans run up to me and say, oh, my God, guess who's on the mall? Is there going to be a fight? Is there going to be a fight? And I'm thinking to myself, they honestly don't know that he's one of my close friends. They honestly don't know. They think I'm going to attack him on sight. And it far from making me angry, it made me smile. And I said, we've done a really good job here. These fans buy into this bitterness between us 1,000%. And that's the way it should be. They didn't say, oh, you guys are so fake, it's so stupid. You know what I didn't do? I didn't cut his head off or set him on fire or feed him to the piranha fish or anything like that. You can get your point across without doing anything like this. Now, Mike, they did a great job as far as the cinematography of having Alexa Bliss appear on that swing set, rocking and saying, "This is the swing set he built for me." And even the dialogue was pretty good, where she was laughing about him liking barbecue food or getting sunburned, and then very seriously saying, "If he does come back, it's going to be like nothing you've ever seen." I'm not opposed to the dialogue, but if you're going to tell me that Randy Orton walks out of a ring that's empty, turns around in a swing set, is in the middle of the ring with a woman who wasn't there before rocking on it, and you don't run, you just sit there and go, "That's interesting. There was nobody in the ring 10 seconds ago. And now there's a swing set and a woman in there. I think I'll get my ass the hell out of here." Then I'm sorry, I can't buy into it, Mike, because it's so ridiculous and outrageous that it's just, it becomes almost a satire of wrestling, just like the Hardy compound stuff.
Right. Look, we kind of got all over Lucha Underground when they were doing the whole thing with Katrina and her appearing and disappearing. But that's sort of different because she came and went away, or she'd be talking to somebody and she'd disappear and they'd have a look on their face like, "What happened?" You know, they got it. The Mark Burnett, who's a producer, wrote some for him, but who's a producer, understood this stuff. Sometimes it's not just the writers that don't understand it for the WWE. It's the producers, all right? I mean, that was somewhat well produced, that whole segment with Alexa Bliss, but, you know, why can't they tell Randy Orton? And look, I'm pretty sure Randy Orton would have done it if they would have told him to do it, right? Correct? I mean, he's a good company, man.
Why even have that? Why even have that? Why couldn't we just cut to the Titantron where she's swinging on a swing set from some location saying the same thing? Why does she have to appear in the ring like a ghost? So suddenly, Alexa Bliss is a ghost. She wasn't a ghost. She is a live human being who can be beat up by Nikki Cross, but she's a ghost. She can appear like magic. Now, it's one thing if she appeared, because if you shut the lights out and somebody is very close, they can slide in that ring. I'm not opposed to that. You got the whole swing set in there, did you? I mean, come on, folks. Let's not do that. Let's not go there. I know some people like that. I don't. If you're going to do that segment, have her appear on the Titantron on a swing. And Randy Orton's listening to her from in the ring. That's all. It's not that Randy Orton didn't do a good job. It's not that Alexa Bliss didn't do a good job. But what were they given? What are we supposed to take away from this story? Bray Wyatt's coming back as a different fiend or a different character. Well, why should we care? This fiend was supposed to be indestructible, and he got his ass kicked on a regular basis. And now all of a sudden you've taken Bray Wyatt from he's just a psychologically damaged individual who is either way too happy or way too violent, depending on which character you bump into. He's either a happy-go-lucky, impossible-to-get-mad type guy, Mr. Rogers, or he's the antithesis of violence itself because he snaps. He's psychologically damaged. No, he's not. According to Vince McMahon, he's a superhuman creature from the pits of hell. Well, that's funny because Goldberg beat him, no problem. That's funny because Seth Rollins beat him until he couldn't move in Hell in a Cell. So he's Jason Voorhees now. And for no reason at all, Alexa Bliss is now, just because she's hanging out with him, she now has supernatural powers because he must have gifted them to her. But with all the supernatural powers they have, they can't beat anybody. If the Fiend had such supernatural powers, why didn't he just strike down Randy Orton dead? No, can't do that. See, that's where I say I can't watch this, because I no longer can look at it and say, all right, well, I can pretend this is real. How many times have you went to a movie and done that? How many times have you said, well, I can believe James Bond has this gadget? We don't know what science could come up with and technology could come up with. Maybe he has this gadget. But how many times have you went to a movie and said, well, this is just ridiculous. This is dumb. Nobody could do that. And there's no, you know, the character can't do this. And it ruins the movie. Because you just say, well, now I just look at it as a movie. I don't look at it as a story with real people. I look at it as a movie. And once it's a movie, and I don't think those characters are really the people they're portraying, then the actors no longer are able to do their job. You don't look at, you don't go to Married with Children and say, you know, Ed O'Neill's doing a great job playing a shoe salesman. You don't think that. You think that's Al Bundy. You don't even think it's Ed O'Neill. Yeah, that's Al Bundy. Because that's how good he is. And you suspend your disbelief. And when you watch Married with Children, you think Kelly's a slut and Bud's a nerd. And, you know, Al Bundy is a loser and his wife is a, you know, whatever. You don't say, they're doing a very, very fine job portraying these people. I do think, however, that the one scene, he should have made a different inflection. You don't do that. You're sitting there buying into that's Al Bundy. Well, I want to be able to buy into that's the Fiend. I want to be able to buy into that's Randy Orton. And guess what? Randy Orton wouldn't set somebody on fire and then get on TV and brag about it. And a swing set would not appear in the middle of a ring. And if it did, there would be nobody wrestling for that federation. Okay? AJ Styles, Drew McIntyre, The Miz, all of those people would say, okay, when swing sets start appearing in the middle of a ring for no reason, I'm out of here. How many times have you said, well, the Amityville Horror is stupid because if you go into a house and somebody, you hear demonic voices saying, get out, you're going to be like, okay, I'm out, and I'm not going back in. Okay, well, then why is wrestling different? Why is wrestling different than that movie? So if Randy Orton says, I don't know, man, I turned around and there was a human being on a swing set in a ring where there was nothing 1 second ago, I am never entering this building again. Because there are obviously some kind of supernatural forces going on here. No, he's not even scared by it. He gets back in the ring. It's just dumb. I don't care how well done it is. Don't tell me how well done it is. Well done doesn't mean it's logical. Well done doesn't mean it fits. I could do a scene where he beheads Alexa Bliss and uses her head as a basketball. And you could say, well, that was very well done. Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. Well done means not only is it produced well, but it fits a storyline that really works. If you want to have the Fiend go away for a while, you don't have Randy Orton attempt murder, or not attempt murder, physically set someone on fire. You have a pit of hell match or something where there's supposedly flames in the pit, and they, once in a while they shoot out of the pit, and the Fiend falls in it, accidentally. Maybe he's beating Randy Orton's ass, and you know, Randy Orton kicks him or hits him with a chair. He stumbles. He trips over something. He falls in, and Orton's horrified and says, oh, my God, he fell in it. And then you have Alexa Bliss do that thing on a swing set from a remote location where you say, well, all it is a videotape. I guess she's at a playground. Or maybe she's at Wyatt's place. We don't know where she is, but we get the fact that she can sit on a swing set, but it doesn't appear in the middle of a ring. Todd, when you go this far, it just becomes a dumb show. It doesn't become professional wrestling.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, I just didn't like that part either, where they had the swing set, the slide, the seesaw, the teeter totter, whatever you call it, in the ring. I would say the exact same things, but on the Titantron location, like a playground or Bray Wyatt's location, I would.
Yeah, because look, at the end of the day, what I'm looking for Randy Orton, if I really wanted to buy into this, and Randy Orton had accidentally set the Fiend on fire, let's say when he initially set the Fiend on fire and the match was over, if Randy Orton had looked like he was horrified and just ran away, and the Fiend is struggling to climb back into the ring, and you're saying, my God, he's burning right up, and you just want to show him burning up, then you could have had Randy Orton come out and say, that was not supposed to happen. I didn't intentionally do that. That was the rules of the match, and I thought he was, you know, just his jacket would catch fire or whatever. He burnt. He completely burned up. How do you think I feel? How would you feel? See, you can't relate to Randy Orton because nobody would feel that way. So now you know it's just a lie. It's just dumb. And it just doesn't work. It does not work. I'm sorry. I don't care how many wrestling fans say it was cool. It doesn't work. There's no psychology behind it because it's so ridiculously far-fetched that it does not work. How come he didn't set Edge on fire when they had their big match? How come he didn't do that? How come he didn't just shoot him, stab him? Apparently he likes to kill people. How come he didn't do that? If the Fiend can disappear, how come he didn't disappear when Goldberg was going to spear him? None of this makes any sense. And all it leads to is the character becoming dumb. And when the character becomes dumb, see, Bray Wyatt's character was not dumb. Bray Wyatt's character was very intelligent. That's why we loved it, because we said, here we have Bray Wyatt trying so hard to keep his anger and his violence and his evil tendencies under wraps that he's went so far the other way, he's the host of a funhouse where he talks to puppets and everything is happy and smiling. Always stay in your happy place. But when he can't, his alter ego comes out, and that is just a raging psychotic lunatic. But it's not a supernatural thing. But no, the WWE couldn't have that. Has to be a supernatural thing. Maybe he'll float in the air next. Maybe that's what we'll do. Let him float to the ring. Maybe we'll have like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where he just jump on the... He doesn't have to have a ladder match. He can just jump and land on the top of the ladder. This is all very dumb, and it's not going to help the Fiend. I'm telling you, it's not going to. In the eyes of those fans who just say, oh, who cares? It's all rigged. It's all fake. Who cares? Okay. Well, if your attitude is who cares, I guess nothing matters, right? You wouldn't even be tuning into this show. Why do you care? What do you care what I think? What do you care what anybody thinks? It's all dumb, stupid, fake, right? But yet you're a fan. I've never met that kind of mentality before. I've never met fans who aren't passionate. It really makes me angry because that's what a fan is. Fan is short for fanatic. Because you're fanatic about what it is that you're a fan of. You're passionate about it. You don't just say, it doesn't matter, win or lose, we had a good baseball game. No, I don't want that kind of fan. I don't want the kind of fan that goes to a game and say, my team lost 22-1, and they scored all 22 runs in the first inning, so it was really a, you know, kind of a boring game, but hey, it doesn't matter. I got to see a ball game. I don't want to go to a game with a fan like that. I want to go to a game with a fan that says, I want the manager fired. I want these people off the team. I want that pitcher back into the minor leagues where he belongs. I want some people up that can actually hit a baseball. I'm tired of being a loser. I want that fan. Otherwise, you're not a fan. You're just an observer. I could watch the opera. I don't like the opera. And I could say, well, I don't know. It's a bunch of fat people yelling. Doesn't matter. It's a, you know, but there are people who are passionate about the opera. But I would never presume to say, well, I'm doing a show on the opera, and I don't care if you're passionate about it. You're dumb. It's just a bunch of fat people yelling. Well, no, 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 no. See, that makes me not a fan. You have to be a fan first. Then you start saying what you like. So don't come at me and tell me, oh, this is dumb, it's all just fake, nobody should care one way or the other. Well, then you're not a fan. You're just somebody who watches wrestling. Why, I'll never know. So what did this horror show get us this week? Not much. And even the interesting angle where apparently The Miz says, wait a minute, AJ Styles is right. I didn't cash in my Money in the Bank briefcase. Morrison cashed it in. He doesn't have the right to cash it in. He's not Mr. Money in the Bank. I want my Money in the Bank briefcase back. Well, there's precedent that other people have cashed in for other people. Managers have cashed in. I think James Ellsworth cashed it in when Carmella had it for her. When you hand the briefcase to somebody and say cash it in, then that person becomes your surrogate. So I don't understand this. If you're going to pull that, and then The Miz still has the briefcase, for what reason? Are we ending up with The Miz as the champion? Is that what USA Network wants because he's got a show on there? I don't know, folks. But here's what we're going to get. Charlotte Flair versus Asuka, coming soon. Sheamus versus Keith Lee, coming soon. Does anybody care? Maybe Ricochet will join his friends, but I doubt it. He'll probably just feud with Mustafa Ali. Big deal. And Angel Garza will do what? Give a rose to everybody he sees and go out and beat somebody in a minute. This is not the same even Angel Garza we saw in NXT or when he first came into the WWE. Because they're not allowing it. The WWE did nothing last night. They didn't try for you because they know or they presume that a great deal of their fan base says, oh, who cares? Subpar is still good. You put on a subpar show, we're still going to give it a B. No, you're not. Not in this show, you're not. This show did not try. Now, I don't know whether it was because of the holiday. I don't know what it was because of. But this show did not try. I'm not saying the in-the-ring performers didn't do the best they could with what they were given. I'm just telling you the show itself didn't try. And whoever is writing this fantastical, nonsensical, supernatural crapola needs to stop. Because you're going to ruin this Fiend character. I'm telling you, you're going to ruin it. And if you don't think you're going to ruin that, even if you say, well, I want to buy into that he's supernatural. I like it better that he's supernatural. At least when The Undertaker came in, they always said he was kind of supernatural. They said he was a dead man. And that the urn, he derived some power from the urn. So you could say it's stupid or not, but that's how they started it. So you weren't shocked that he was being portrayed as somewhat supernatural. Bray Wyatt didn't start out like that. He's a cult leader. He was Charles Manson, for God's sake. Then he became Charles Manson who took electroshock therapy and said, no, I'm a happy guy. I'm nice. I have no anger in me. I love everybody. And then when he gets really mad, he becomes twice as bad as he ever was because he's held it all in. That's what Bray Wyatt was supposed to be with his Fiend character. No, he's supernatural. And if you join him in the funhouse, you're supernatural too. Alexa Bliss is now a ghost. She can appear and disappear. She can make a swing set appear in the ring. I don't want this from professional wrestling. I also don't want the AEW thing where it's all about wrestling and it has nothing to do with a storyline or it has nothing to do with a show and it has nothing to do with building characters. I don't want that either. I want the in-between. I want what we saw with Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. That was good. That's what professional wrestling is supposed to be. Even Sasha Banks and Carmella, you could say, the thing with her wine butler is a little dumb, but whatever. I can live with that. But at least it looked like a real feud. It looked like a real fight. She didn't disappear. She didn't float to the ceiling. She didn't invoke the gods. She can't cause lightning to come down. This is not Mortal Kombat. It's professional wrestling. I remember when WCW tried this shit with Glacier and whatever the other guy's name was, Mortis, and people laughed at it and said, oh, this is terrible. Now you'd eat it up. Now you'd be like, this is so cool. Mike, I think some wrestling fans have just either given up and they just say status quo is good, or they really don't understand wrestling.
Right, they really don't understand wrestling to the point of, I don't think they would understand what happened on AEW this past week when they said when they were talking about with Dustin Rhodes, we want you to join, but we're going to call you Seven. Well,
right,
that's a reference to what Bischoff tried to do with him with the face paint and having him float to the ring and all that crap when he first returned to WCW, you know, back after he stopped being Goldust for a while, you know. That's what that was. And on this issue of being a fan, I'll take it another step further. I'm a fan of the New Orleans Saints, the NFL, New Orleans Saints, all right? And my feelings about it is this. 8-8, which is a good record, which is not a good record, is 50. Basically, is the NFL's version of 50-50 booking. Okay, 8-8, 8-8 don't do me no good. You're not good enough to get into the playoffs, and you're not bad enough to get a really good draft pick. You know,
right. That's
it. Don't do me any good. 50-50 booking don't do me no good. You know.
See, but that's what a real fan is. I mean, I'm a Mets fan. If the Mets win the World Series, I don't get any money. I don't get any endorsement deals. I don't get a consolation prize. I get nothing. So why do I care if they win? Because I'm a fan. That's why I care. Well, that's why you should care if you're a wrestling fan. You should care that your intelligence is being insulted. Once again, wrestling should be... Yes, you know it's predetermined, but we're so good at what we do that while you're watching this, you're going to swear it's not. You're going to swear we hate each other. You're going to swear that I'm hitting him with a chair. You're going to swear that I really backstabbed my best friend. That's how good we are. That's why we're professionals. But if you're sitting there going, doesn't matter, if they float to the ceiling and then hit them with a lightning bolt, that's okay, because it's fake anyway. Well, okay. Well, then I don't think you're a fan. Because if a wrestler comes out tomorrow that can float to the ceiling and shoot lightning bolts from their fingers, and believe me, modern technology, you could have that happen, I'm done. Because then that's just dumb. And I don't want to watch something that's dumb. What I saw at the end of TLC and on Raw last night involving Randy Orton and The Fiend and Alexa Bliss was dumb. It would never happen in a million years. It totally blows your ability to think of it as real. And it just plain sucks. Now, you could produce it well, but production is not logic. It's not the same thing at all. So to say, well, it was really well done. It was creepy. Sure, it was creepy. Maybe they should make a horror film then and stay out of professional wrestling if that's what you want to do. But professional wrestling isn't a horror show. It's professional wrestling. So you're going to say Bray Wyatt has the ability to burn for 10 minutes and come back better than ever and beat up Randy Orton, but he couldn't beat him the first time. He doesn't have that ability. Randy Orton's so tough. So in other words, that would be like saying, well, Jason Voorhees got his ass kicked by some guy, some dude, some camper, beat his ass raw. And Jason says, well, I'll come back even stronger. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If Jason is so powerful and so whatever, how did Tommy get his ass beat Raw? See, that's the problem. When you introduce supernatural characters, then they should be almost impossible. That's why The Undertaker finally kind of went to the American Badass and thing, because they said, well, how's he ever supposed to lose? If he's a dead man who feels no pain, how the hell is he supposed to lose? And they said, well, we have to modify the character now, because you're right, he can't lose. When Kane came in, go back in your history and watch Mankind hit Kane with about a 50-pound lug wrench in the face, and it didn't even faze him. Later in his career, he's being wrapped up by Rey Mysterio, because you said, well, we have to modify the character. You can't have a character like this. They'd be invincible. Logically, they'd be invincible to a normal human being. Well, that's what the Fiend is. Logically, he would be invincible to a normal human being. Bray Wyatt himself, as the cult leader, wasn't invincible. Or the sweater vest Bray Wyatt wasn't invincible. Even the Fiend himself, if you kept him away from the supernatural aspect and just the psychological aspect, wasn't invincible. I mean, logically, the way you would beat the Fiend is not to beat him until he can't move anymore. It would be to wrap him up in something he couldn't get out of for 3 seconds. And you say, well, all right, he got pinned. He's not hurt. He just couldn't get out of that move for 3 seconds, because he's not a supernatural creature. He's just a raging lunatic. That's the way you do that. I'm sorry to tell you, I think they failed on all fronts. If it wasn't for the fact that at least they used Angel Garza, which I think is a good sign, I would give the show a complete F. But I'm going to give it a D-, because there was one or two things on here that I thought, well, maybe they're furthering Stryker a little bit. Maybe they're furthering Angel Garza a little bit. We'll see where that goes. The rest of this was crap on a stick as far as I'm concerned, Mike. So D- for me.
Got to be a D- for me. I mean, I enjoyed what she said, what's her name said. And frankly, again, where's Nikki Cross, you know? You know, I don't know if they've dropped that, but where's Nikki Cross? Okay. And frankly, you're right about the tag teams. At least with AEW and some of these other places, they at least have a passable tag team division. You know, WWE on both sides, Raw and SmackDown, where are the tag teams? You know, so D- for me as well.
Way, way, way superior tag team division than the WWE. They have many more interesting tag teams. I would say that the NXT's women's division difference between AEW and NXT, which is vast, is not as vast as the tag team division in AEW and WWE. It's day and night. It's day and night. Because WWE doesn't care about tag team wrestling, because fans don't care. Again, it all comes down to if you care. If you care, you need to make your voices heard. Is that how you're going to go through life? I don't care if my girlfriend is sleeping with 10 guys. I don't care if my boss is going to fire me. I don't care if my car breaks down. I don't care if I eat. I don't care if I sleep. I don't care if anything. What do you care about? Give me a passionate person every time over someone who doesn't care. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you there. I got to give it a D-.
I really thought they'd try after TLC. I really thought they'd deliver us a decent show. Instead, it looked like it was thrown together in 25 minutes by somebody who's never watched a wrestling show in his life. I don't know what to tell you, folks. All I can say is Merry Christmas, and we will see you on Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.